2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want you to also find 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to continue our study that we started a week and a half ago. Do y'all remember it? It's good to see that you do. But I was just thinking about, and as Robbie was teaching, I'm not no artist or nothing, but I don't claim to be. So this is not going to be perfect, but it'll get my point across. And this is not a basketball either. But I was thinking a lot. I went out, we got home, and went and checked the watermelons and the garden. And I walked through one of these things. Made me mad, too. Have you ever walked through one? It's hard to get it off, isn't it? Now, I'm sure many of y'all could do a better job, but this will... Do I need to write up here on top of what this is? I bet you more ask somebody what they think this is. Brianna, what's this? A what? A spider web. You know what? This, I guess the old spider, he didn't know how to get it right, so we'll just do it like his and finish it out. So, you know, this, we call it a web, and it is, but it's also a snare. It snares things, and I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy, and I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to give you five things about this, and I want you to understand. And let me say this too. There are only two ways. There's only two ways in the world. And you're either one way or the other. There's no middle ground. It's or you're either saved or you're lost. No middle ground. You're not being saved. You're not gaining enough of knowledge to get saved. You're either saved now or you're lost now. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you're either saved or you're lost. One of the two. And this is a snare. You're either in this snare, and you can be in this snare and be saved. There's a lot of people that are saved that has been snared. They have been caught in the web. Now the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end there is the way of death. Well, murder doesn't seem right unto man. Thieves, stealing, doesn't seem right unto man. What seems right unto man? Religion. Doing good. Helping thy neighbor. All of the good things that the world does to show their goodness seemed right unto man. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You never get to heaven without Christ. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. Now, I want you to look at some things with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now notice in verse 15, and Robbie quoted it, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And so I want you to see, and over here you have, this would be ungodliness. Even though the world says it's good, and we'll see that in a moment, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You can't increase unto more if the profane and vain babblings wasn't ungodly to start with, right? And their word, the profane and vain babblings, their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, now here is their profane and vain babblings, that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. So I know that through their erroneous teaching, many people that are saved got their faith overthrew. Are you all with me? I'm just reading it out of the Bible here, and we're just going down and letting the verses say what they say. Nevertheless, even though their faith has been overthrown, even though they're caught in a snare of ungodliness, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If they're caught in this snare of ungodliness, does the Lord still know them? Are they still his? Yes, they are. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This right here. I mean, he's talking about false doctrine, folks. He's talking about not rightly dividing the word of truth. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, from what? From these? Well, what's these in the passage? What did we start out that you're to shun? Profane babblings, vain babblings. Purge himself from these, and that is also iniquity. I'll put that up here. I just come over here. It's iniquity, ungodliness.
Look what he said. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be called a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use. He'll be useful, he'll be profitable to the Lord, and prepared unto every good work. Whatever the Lord puts out for him to do, he'll be prepared to do that work for the Lord. He'll be useful, profitable. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish, unlearned questions, what? Avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now watch it. In meekness, in not thinking you're better, not blowing yourself up, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preventure will give them repentance, a change of mind, to what? To the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him, the devil, at his, the devil's, will. In other words, there are people that are caught in the snare of the devil, and the meek preacher and teacher and those that know the truth should try to instruct these people so that they'll see the truth and acknowledge the truth and get out of that mess. And that's what he's talking about. And the only way that you can do that is by 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the opposite of truth is the vain babbling. Let's try it again and turn back with me, and we'll look in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. Verse 3. When I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Well, the godly edifying, it has a reference to the doctrine. In other words, the only true thing that will edify godliness in your life is the doctrine. Paul, he said, that thou teach no other doctrine. Now look what he said. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. And there's that vain jangling. Desiring to be teachers of the law. They're legalistic. The vain jangling in the context is teaching the law. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Well, how are you supposed to use it lawfully? Like Robbie was teaching today in Paul's epistles, the only one that he don't even recognize is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the law of Christ, use it lawfully. Not for salvation, not to gain favor with God, but because that's what's expected of you. as a member of the body of Christ, as an ambassador of Christ. But look on. And also to use it lawfully is to show that you need a Savior. Look what he said. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy and profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, men-stealers, liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed unto my trust. Well, folks, the law wasn't for the righteous. The law is to show you how sorry you are. The law is to show the world that they're sinners. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And God gave the law. You can't keep the law. The law can't do nothing but condemn you. We're to strive. It's wrong to steal. You know that. It's wrong to tell a lie, bear false witness. You know that. Nobody don't have to preach that to you. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you don't desire to steal somebody else's stuff. Or you don't desire to lie about somebody else. Or you don't desire to break that law. You have a desire to honor the Lord. But you don't keep the law to gain God's favor because you can't. The law wasn't given for that. But look back with me in the passage, and I want you to notice some things about it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, the other passage now, and then I'm going to tie it together and we'll go eat. Won't be that long. Maybe 40 minutes, something like that. I'm just kidding. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The context has to, these people were scared. These people had thought they were suffering so bad that they were going through the tribulation period. And that the day of Christ, and the day of Christ has to do with His glory. Look what he said in verse chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him. Two things in that verse. That ye be not so soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. He's going to sit in the temple. The temple hadn't even been rebuilt, but it can be rebuilt in no time. It don't even have to be a temple like Solomon's temple was. It could be a tabernacle. It could be like David pitched for it out there and Moses pitched for it. Throw up some poles and skins and stuff like that and wrap it up in cloth or whatever in just a matter of a couple of days and be there for their sacrifice. I mean, folks, people who's got the whole thing so screwed up now. I mean, it's just messed up how people are there. Listen to me. There is no sign to the rapture of the church except what Paul gives you in the latter days and in the last days. Now, trends is going to be prevalent. And right now, there you can't tell me that the times, the day, is not worse than they was 50 years ago. There are things going on today that 50 years ago you'd said no way would this country let this go on. And we're down the tubes, I'm going to tell you that right now.
Either way, we're down the tubes as far as God's concerned. This nation of ours has turned their back on the King James Bible, and this nation of ours has turned to fables and turned to religion and idolatry, and they don't even know the truth. Folks, you get outside this little area that we live in, you're in a different world. Do you understand that? They don't know and believe and worship the God that you worship. They don't know the Bible as you know it. It's a whole different ball game out there. Ian Robbie was talking about it down there. I mean, just still in the United States, you feel like you're in foreign country. I kid you not. There were places we went that you had to find somebody to speak English. And that was the one trying to help you. Amazing. Well, that's another subject. I got to move on. Look what he said. He said, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" Verse 6, Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Something is withholding. Verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity." Remember this, depart from iniquity. "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth." That word "let" is an old English word. It's to hinder, restrain. You hear tennis. There's a net across the court there. And if that ball hits that net, what do they holler? Holler "let." Why? That's an old English. It hindered, it restrained the ball from going across the other side. There's something that's restraining the mystery of iniquity. There's something that's restraining the Antichrist from coming on the scene. There's something that's holding him back. He said, "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." Hang on there and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. "For the perfect," gave the latter part of verse 11, "the pastors and teachers are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect" what? What do you call man? You say that man, or... He's a he, isn't he? Now back in the passage, "only he who now letteth," hindereth, "will let," he'll restrain, "until he be taken out of the way. And when he's taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Going to do a lot of miracles, and people, that's what people's after today. Folks, I believe the he in the passage is the body of Christ. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't not going nowhere. It's the body of Christ. In other words,
The prophetic program of the Antichrist cannot begin until the body of Christ is complete and took out of the way. Then God will go back dealing with prophecy, but today he's dealing with the mystery. Amen. Informing the body of Christ.
Now, I want you to, where he said verse 7, the mystery. So this in here is a mystery. It's the mystery of iniquity. Now let me give you some things. I don't believe that everybody that's in a part of this is lost. Let me show you why. Turn back into Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy. And notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the latter times of the completion of the body of Christ, the dispensation of grace, whatever you want to say. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Are they going to depart from the faith? Hang on to 1 Timothy. Go back. I should have told you to hang on to Ephesians 4. Go back to Ephesians 4 and notice in verse 5. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, one Lord, how many faiths? They don't have many to depart from, do they? There's one faith. One Lord, one faith. Notice verse in Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of a faith. Is that what it said? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. The faith. There is a specific group of doctrines that God gave to the Apostle Paul for you that are in this building right now that's saved by the grace of God. There's a set of doctrines that was delivered, and it's called sound doctrines in the Bible. It's that holy thing that was committed unto Paul, and he come wrote it down in 13 epistles, and he gave it to you, and that's God's book to you. And it's the faith. It's not a faith. It's not some faith. It's the faith. And every saved individual today should be in unity of the faith. But tell me something. Why is the body of Christ not in unity? Are they saved people in the Methodist? Come on now, folks. A little light from you guys. You believe there's some saved people in the Methodist denomination? I met some I believe saved that are Methodists. I sure do. I fellowship with a Methodist preacher been several years ago. I believe that man was saved. He talked about the gospel and everything. I mean, I believe he had a testimony. I believe he's saved. Do you believe there are saved people in the Presbyterian? I do. Do you believe there are saved people in the Baptist? I know you're going to shake your head for that one. I do. But tell me something. Are they in unity? Come on now. This is where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? Are they in unity? You know, there are some that's in, I mean, think about it. We have Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists, Independent Baptists, hard shell Baptist, free will Baptist, primitive Baptist. You reckon they're in unity? Come on, you think so? You know why? There is no unity over here. Except on the little thing you're caught in. Your little clique. No unity of the faith. A lot of people that's caught in this snare don't even know what the faith is. I've talked to people across, I've come up and asked them, do you know who your apostle is? Jesus Christ. No, he's not. What? And you asked them, there's a lot of people that's called in here and they departed. Look back in 1 Timothy. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, not a faith. The faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see, in this snare here, the god of this world is the one that's doing, and he's the god of the world. Robbie read it. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. People don't believe their Bible. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them the lost, in whom the what? Let me put it like this, like the Bible puts it. A little G there, isn't it? The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now back in 1 Timothy chapter, notice there's doctrines of devils. The god of this world has his preachers preaching. And people are swayed into this thing. They're caught in this trap. Come on over. We're having this thing a shake. Get rocks and rolls. And we have the praise and worship over here. And we do all of this. And you know how old Webb will sit there and there's this glitter. And the light will hit it. And old Bug will see it. And he'll fly right into it. Oh yeah, I've been looking for that. We have programs for your children. And all of this. And games and activity. Why, come on over. Fun time. We have parachute day, and we have fireman's day, and we have world's biggest popsicle. Come and take your lick. On and on the thing goes. Entertainment. They got to entertain them to get them there. They have to entertain them to keep them. Why? No doctrine now. Your problem is, Brother Barnes said, you just preach too much doctrine. Snare on in. Look what he says. Oh, by the way, look in verse 6. 1 Timothy 4:6, but if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. The words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wise fables. There exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now look over in the last part in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. There's that word doctrine again. Continue in them. Doctrine. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, Timothy was a saved man already. What's he talking about? Save thyself and them that hear him. Paul's saying, Timothy, you'll save yourself and your congregation. You nourish them up in the words of faith. You preach that good doctrine that was delivered unto me. You remember the things that I taught you and deliver them unto. You know what to keep people out of the snare and get them out of the snare? It's the doctrine that God gave Paul.
He's talking about being saved from the apostasy, not from salvation. Now I want to give you just five things. I'm going to do it in the next 5 minutes. I'm going to let you out of here in just in about 35 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. Number one, this is a place of religion, ordinances. This over here. Notice this thing about it. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. These jangling and all these babbles and babblings and everything else. Let's look what he said. In Colossians chapter 2. Notice in verse 6. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We talked about that week before last. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. There's the faith again, to be established in it. As ye have been taught, abounding therein, the faith, with thanksgiving, being thankful for it. Aren't you thankful that you got the message of Paul? Aren't you thankful you're not snared in some religion? There are people today that are not free. They're in bondage to some religious system. And they're scared to death. Look what he said. He said there in verse 8. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Oh, we have that. Vain deceit. After the traditions of men. After the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Look in verse, come down with me to verse 19. Verse 19. And not holding the head, Jesus Christ. They don't lift him up. From which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, minister, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And tell me something, does religion have ordinances? Are you to be subject to them? Not one bit. And he said, let no man look in the passage where he said, turn back and look let me just go on. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moons, or the Sabbath day. You don't let nobody bring you under judgment. You don't let nobody put judgment on you and condemn you for what, because you don't follow those ordinances and don't be subject to these Sabbath days and all this, which is a shadow of things to come. Well, the thing to come is the kingdom, folks, and these ordinances and the Sabbaths and all of these things is a shadow of what's to come, and men today want to put the body of Christ under those ordinances and it enslaves them. Look what he said. He goes on, he said, come down to verse subject to ordinance, verse 21. Here, parentheses, and here's touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't you do that. Don't you go there. You can't do this. You can't do that. Why, you better do this. You're not saved. How many times have you heard that? And then he goes on, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Religion teaches traditions, they teach ordinances, and they're the doctrines of men, and if it's not a part of the faith, shun it. Don't listen to it. Don't give your attention to it. Why? It will beguile you. It will rob you. It will rob you and spoil you. And the devil's luring you into captivity. Religion wants your undivided attention. They want your money. They put you under the law, beat you over the head to keep their ordinances and enslave the body of Christ. When many of the body of Christ should be enjoying the liberty and the freedom to have in Christ, they're enslaved to some religious system, living in fear that if they don't do what that system says, that God is going to bring down His wrath upon them. Let me tell you something. God brought down His wrath upon His Son for me, and God judged His Son for my sins, and God done everything that He's going to do to me. He did it to Christ on that cross. I'm saved by the grace of God. Not because of what I do, but because of what He did for me. And I don't have to please man. Paul said, if I be a pleaser man, I be not the servant of Jesus Christ. I don't preach to please you. You know that. I'm going to have to stand and give an account of how I preach this book, and I want to preach it rightly divided. Religion, traditions, false doctrine that opposes the truth, doctrines of devils is in there. They tell you you've got to do something. They add and become enemies of the cross of Christ through their ignorance. I'm talking about saved people. Do you know what the word apostasy means? It means falling down. They've turned away from the truth and they've been into this, caught in this web of religion. Works. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Works. In this web you have works for salvation. Look what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice in 2 Timothy. No, I couldn't find it first. 2 Timothy, notice what he said in verse 9, a reference to God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is now made manifest and by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, that salvation that's not by works, and he said in verse 9, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, was manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, when was that appearing? It wasn't the appearing of a baby in the manger. He didn't manifest salvation by works then. Not according to works. He didn't manifest it nowhere else in His ministry. Where is it that salvation is not of works? It was given to Paul. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, "For God by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not according to our works, but in the snare you have them working for their salvation. You have religion telling people they got to be good. You have them doing works, good works. Man's relying upon his goodness to gain God's favor. You can't do it. You can't get good enough to gain God's favor. The Bible says in Romans 3, there's none good, no, not one. There's not a just man on this earth that sinneth not. I doeth good and sinneth not. You can't find one. You can't find nobody that's ever walked in shoe leather other than the Lord Jesus Christ that lived a perfect life. I want you to understand you're no good today. You need a Savior. Every law that God ever gave, you broke somewhere. Why, the Bible says he hated his brothers a murderer. And there's a lot of us that's hating people in our lifetime. Now, people get around there and say, "Well, I don't hate them. I just don't like what they do." You can't separate what they do from what they are.
Don't give me that. That's that old religion talking there. That's like God says, thou shalt not covet. And the way people say, well, religion said, well, it's not covetous if you just, you don't want theirs, you just want one like it. No, it's covetousness. And we all covet. And covetousness is idolatry. And we all covet. Old man's nature covets things that God Almighty won't give him. We want power. We want to be our own authority. We don't want nobody telling us what to do. We want to get rid of that book because that book's authority. And we want to be our own authority. That's covetousness and that's idolatry. You're coveting what God said He does. We find that works is in there. There are people that's in that body, that's snared in there, that's living in fear. Fear of losing their salvation. There's fear in there. People that depend on their works don't know whether they're going to be good enough to make it in there or not. You ask them, say, you saved? Well, I hope I am. I've had them to say, no man knows whether he's going to go to heaven or not. Let me tell you something I know. I'm a living example of it. I'm a living proof that a man can know that he's going to be with the Lord when I draw my last breath. Right here. I'm saved. Fear in there. Deception's in there. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Then we have, it's a web of religion. It's a snaring web, lures men in through entertainment and false doctrines, doing this, doing that. And it's an ungodly web. It's a web for works for salvation. It's a fearful web. Men in there fear. In fact, God said in, well, why are you in 2 Timothy? Look over back in chapter 1, 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's a fearful web. It's a web of deceit. Look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, notice in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The evil men in the context, look back with me in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The power thereof is the gospel, the truth in the form, and the it has to do with the truth about Christ. Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly with women, laden with sins, led away in divers lusts, ever learning, the ones that's got the form of godliness, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, the faith that Paul gave. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And folks are teaching, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. And they're teaching the doctrines of the devils over here, and they could be saved in doing it. And not even be aware of it. Because they're in the snare and they've never acknowledged the truth. And they're evil. And that word evil is to bring pain, affliction on people through mental and physical harm. evil. When you do an evil deed, you hurt somebody. And folks, there are members of the body of Christ that are being hurt today. They're in fear of their losing their salvation when God said that nothing can separate them. They're in confusion. This is a web of confusion because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. And it's a web of deception, and the evil men that's doing it will be deceived themselves, and they're deceiving other people. They don't go to church to learn the Word of God. They don't go to church to learn what God's doing today. That's the mystery of iniquity. Never forget this. In Paul's day, the devil's opposition was outward. They threw him into prison. They beat him. They followed him around. They stoned him. We would be the same way if it wasn't for, we do have a few laws left and a few freedoms that we do have. We can assemble ourselves and preach the Word of God. But Satan's tactics changed when the body of Christ was revealed to Paul. Before it was open, when Christ was here on this earth, they was demon-possessed people. There was physical activity going on. And then God, the mystery of godliness, the body of Christ became a spiritual body and went spiritual. So did Satan. So what does he do today? He doesn't openly declare war against you. What does he do? He corrupts the Word of God today. He changes the Word of God. He corrupts the Word of God. He has people to say, well, that's your interpretation. Well, my mama, my daddy, my grandma, my grandpa believed this way. If it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Well, they might be in hell right now. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. And you say, well, that's a crude thing to say. Well, I'm a crude person. I had one woman say, you're so uncouth. I didn't know what uncouth was. I said, thank you, ma'am. Not often I get compliments. I did say that. She thought I was being sarcastic, but I really wasn't. I didn't know what it was. Folks, do you not know? The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth ain't going to set nobody free if they don't know it. And today the body of Christ is divided. They're confused. And they don't know the truth. They're caught in that web. And you know what that is? It's ungodliness. People's got thought that iniquity and ungodliness is in the honky-tonks of the world. No, it's in the churches of the world. The most ungodliest things that's going on today is under the banner of religion. More people are going to hell from a pew of a church than they are from a beer joint. And they're deceived. Well, what's going to get them? Paul's doctrine. The only thing that's going to save them. The only thing that's going to recover them from that snare. You want to depart from iniquity? You get out of that religious system. I don't care who's in it. They might be saved by the grace of God just like you. But if they're in that system and they're under ordinances of men and they're in that system and they're preaching the traditions of men, they're caught in a trap. And they can't let go. I think Elvis sung that, didn't he? I'm not going to. Thank you very much. I'm not going to. You can go.
shake hands.